Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome one and all to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Adirola, and returning after far too long out there in the big wide open world, Viviana Vigil. Welcome back. TV host, producer on NBC.
Hi. How's it going? Guys, it's been a long time. I'm so glad to be back. John, thank you for having me back. I have a great time with you and we're gonna have fun today.
It's great to have you here. You've been busy producing content of a different sort, which you can now actually mention, right?
Yes, I can now talk about it. So exciting. I helped develop and then now producing a 6-episode docuseries starring John Leguizamo. It's going to air on MSNBC April 14th. So please tune in. I think that's a Sunday. I think it's going to air around 7 p.m. But I'll update you guys as it gets closer and you can follow my socials.
What's the title?
And it's called Leguizamo Does America. And we travel all around the country, including Puerto Rico, because as you know, John, it is part of the United States.
And just talk, yeah.
And just talk to Latinos doing cool stuff, man. It's a really great time. John is amazing. He's so curious. He's so passionate. And we just had a blast. So we were shooting all summer. Now we're in post-production. So this is where the hard work comes in. We're just finishing up. I produce episode in New York and the episode in Puerto Rico. So it's actually really powerful. I'm so proud of the stuff that we are covering. In particular, awesome. Just some really powerful people. So you're gonna love it.
Awesome. I can't wait. And I'm already planning now to clip out that section of you saying nice things about John and put it in my reel. But anyway, very exciting. So everyone stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for all of the news we've got on the line for you. We're gonna be reacting to the big announcement from yesterday. We now know what it is and it's dumb as hell. Updates on January 6th, these criminal referrals might be coming quite a bit sooner than we thought. We're gonna give you our thoughts, reacting to the testimony of survivors of the Club Q shooting, updates on important stories. We're gonna be talking about dolls, video games, 3D printed houses, lots of fun stuff. So everyone, buckle up and prepare, and also hit the like button and share the stream as we get ready to launch into this. Oh, also, if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we will respond as we go. But with all that said, Viviana, are you ready to start the show?
Let's do it. You're the boss.
Okay, let's do it. Let's jump right into this.
Hello, everyone. This is Donald Trump, hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln, better than Washington, with an important announcement to make. I'm doing my first official Donald J. Trump NFT collection right here and right now.
Oh God, of course. Of course it's an NFT collection. The big announcement, America needs a hero, and it'll come in the form of JPEGs that he wants you to pay $100 a pop for. Anyway, here's the bleat where he announced it. Major announcement, my official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. These limited edition cards feature amazing art of my life and career. Collect all of your favorite Trump digital trading cards, very much like a baseball card, but hopefully much more exciting. Well, I really hope so, because we are charging a bundle for these. Only $99 each would make a great Christmas gift. Don't wait, they will be gone, I believe, very quickly. And actually, to that end, they might be gone very quickly, because in that bleat, he attached him as a superhero in a boxing ring, which, as Brett Ehrlich points out, lots of superheroes box. The interesting thing about it is you could just load that bleat and you own it. It's yours because it's a JPEG, and that's how JPEGs work. You don't have to spend $100 on it. And I got news for you. We're gonna show you some of the others. You can own those too for free. Just screenshot this video. You don't even have to go to a stupid website. But in another way, they'll be gone quickly. It's a digital good. You're introducing artificial scarcity to fleece your supporters. This is so pathetic and so cruel at the same time. And it's also pathetic in one way that you might have missed. I mean, we're used to the grandiose imagery of Trump from his adoring worshipers that doesn't line up with who he actually is. But the beginning of that video was him doing laser eyes. They just took that from the Dark Brandon thing. Like Biden got something that was popular and Trump was like, no, I want laser eyes. It's so sad. The whole thing is so sad. NFTs, they were boring like 16 months ago. Who's still doing NFTs? It takes him this long to do it. Anyway, obviously I have thoughts. Viviana, what do you think?
It's what you said, John. It's just sad. It's sad. It reminds me of like, what was that mint that they had where you could, the collectible coins?
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. I forget.
It's the same commercial. Yeah, it's the same commercial with a website on the bottom. Like, I even think it's beneath you, and I have zero respect for you, Trump. Hopefully, your favorite president, more than Lincoln. Like, the pandering, it's just sad. Like, wow, are you really this low? And then the choices, the artistic choices with, that's not your body, sir. That is not your body. Even those aren't your eyes either. It's just.
They're not. Yeah, look, sad. I get
really
it.
There's
a lot of pressure, thanks to Marvel, on men to have these massive physiques. But you know, I don't have it, Trump, and neither do you, clearly. So the art is ridiculous. Anyway, if you are interested in getting one of these, which you shouldn't, he says they're just like baseball cards, but you collect them digitally on your computer or phone. Again, you can have them instantly. You can have them right now. You can share them on the Discord. All you need is an email address and a credit card to start collecting 1, 10, 20, or 100. You want someone to spend $10,000 on stupid images of you. That's what you want.
Sadly, someone will. Someone will.
Yeah, I'm sure some people, they want to enter this new league of collectors. Anyway, only $99 each. Well, you're probably wondering, what do you get for your $99? Well, technically nothing, because again, you can have all these for free, but you could get an image of Trump as a sheriff or something, standing out in the wilderness. Which is definitely a thing Trump would ever do, ever. Stand in grass and dirt near animals. Are you for real? Anyway, you can get this, which is reminiscent of astronauts in some ways, but not most. I don't. They even put the Biden glasses on him. He's trying to do the Biden thing. It's so sad. Or this suspiciously skinny image of Trump holding a football. Or something.
We all know truck. We all know he has dumps like a truck. That's not him.
NFTs are so.
Yeah.
They were stupid. That now everybody's moved on from it. Melania did her NFTs like a year ago, and Trump is doing this now after telling his fans, major announcement, America needs a hero. This is like the Ovaltine promotions or something. Like, if you're a Trump fan, you've got to be annoyed by this. And you probably, let's keep it real, you probably got to be pretty sick of this. And the reason I know that is Trump's, we don't have this graphic, but Trump's like national approval level is the lowest it's been in 7 years. And obviously that means that a lot of Democrats and independents aren't having it. We know that. But his approval rating amongst Republicans is down. It's still at like 70%, but do you get how low that is in comparison to the 90 plus that he was having for some time? And this sort of stuff is not going to save his reputation. He needs to give them red meat, and this is nothing. This isn't a side dish.
He would have been better off with real baseball cards. I think it would have been better.
Get something.
Then it would be collectible. You know, I might want to own some of those to maybe burn, you know, whatever I want to do with them.
Yeah. Well, look, you might be thinking, Viviana, maybe viewers out there might be thinking, well, look, obviously, John, I'm not going to buy the NFT, obviously. And you probably don't even want to right click and save these JPEGs because they're terrible. But that doesn't mean that you can't get involved, because Brett Ehrlich actually noticed something interesting about this. The Trump campaign appeared to realize that $99 for dumb image probably isn't enough to sell a lot of this. So they decided to do something that I talked about with Dave Leventhal earlier this week. When you buy these, you also get entered into a sweepstakes to get potentially a bunch of different prizes, including a dinner with Donald Trump. And by that, he apparently means a ticket to a dinner with 2,000 people at it. So if you consider that a dinner with Trump, fine. But anyway, by buying that, you get into the sweepstakes. But do you know, you don't have to buy one to enter to get into the sweepstakes. There's no purchase mail-in alternate method of entry. All you have to do is get an envelope, put a little index card with your name and your info, and send it to 1143 East Union Street, Newark, New York. You can do that up to 100 times. And I know what you're thinking, why would I want to do that? I don't want to eat dinner with Donald Trump. No, I get that. But there might be some other people who do, and they need to be dissuaded from that notion. So if a bunch of Damage Report viewers were to send in these things, up to 100 per household, you could really throw his little fundraising scheme into hell. Anyway,
I'm filling them out now, John. I'm putting them together.
I was looking at some other chats. They were hoping it was going to be like Carrie Lake as VP or something, or I don't know. I don't know what else. This is so pathetic. So pathetic.
You said it best. I mean, it's sad. And it's beneath who he is as a former president to be doing this in this way is just so cheap. I mean, I'm not surprised. The guy is. Gilds his toilets, so not shocking.
I've got to jump into one of those AI art generators and create a bunch of really horrible alternate images of me and then sell them for $99 each.
Make sure
I'll probably make as much money as him. None.
Make sure yours have ample cleavage because that's what they do. Those AI make you
does it much. Really?
Yeah, there was some commentary on that. Yeah.
I'm gonna Google that later. Anyway, with that said, we have arguably more important news to get to, so let's jump into this. The House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has been teasing later this month that they're going to do their final report and that that report might include criminal referrals, and those referrals might involve Donald Trump, although they're not saying anything. And you've probably been thinking, well, I don't want to wait until right before Christmas. Well, you actually might not have to because apparently they're moving up the schedule. So they're saying now, whatever criminal referrals or other recommendations they're going to make could come out as soon as next Monday, just days away. Committee Chair Benny Thompson says, we looked at the schedule and it appears we can complete our work a little bit before that. It was originally the 23rd, I believe. So why not get it to the public as quick as we can? The full final report, by the way, is still expected to come out next Wednesday, and it's going to summarize everything that they've found, whatever they think that is important. They say they're still working on it, by the way. They're trying to get the final thing done by Friday so they can print it up or whatever. But you're probably wondering, is this just a summary of what we already know? Is there extra information that hasn't been revealed? Well, they're again doing a bit of teasing. So asked whether the hearings on Monday, which by the way will happen at 1 Eastern time, which means in theory, we might be able to do some live commentary here on the show on Monday. Asked whether it will include new evidence or testimony, Thompson said it could be evidence that we have not shared in the hearings. It could very well be. He also said it would likely be shorter than the 2 hour plus hearings they've been doing up until this point. Each member of the committee is expected to play a role. Why are you playing games with our heart? What are you talking about? It might have new evidence. The thing needs to be done being written up tomorrow. You either know or you don't. Clearly you do, but you don't want to go on the record. I hope that's what it is. Because if you're really not sure about what to include in this thing, and it's gonna be done in the next 24 hours, that is not a sign of confidence on the part of the committee. Viviana, what do you think?
It's just taking a swing at the piñata. There might be something good in there. You don't know. Tune in at 7. You know, I mean, it's just a tease. I do think it does have more to do with not wanting to be on the record about it. Especially we're in a place where it's a criminal, you know, accusations. I don't think Trump's gonna really have to pay for any of this. And, you know, wasn't it Comey who said it himself? He didn't think it looked good for America. Yeah. So
Let me ask you now, because I definitely wanted to have sort of our gut final predictions, I suppose, since we're only a couple of days away. So you think that there might be criminal referrals, but not of Donald Trump? That's what you're expecting?
No. Someone's gonna pay, but it's gonna be the small players who are just gonna be buying NFTs as soon as they can get a chance. Same guys, you know.
Well, those smaller players. I mean, we know that they had Roger Stone in, Steve Bannon, Ginny Thomas. Like, there are other people that in theory there could be criminal referrals towards. I'm not expecting that to come. But also bear in mind, if your gut is that there will not be actual consequences, that doesn't necessarily have to mean that there isn't a criminal referral. Let me explain just a little bit. So first of all, they say that they're looking at 5 or 6 categories of referrals. That includes everything, including them talking to the DOJ or the FEC or the House Ethics Committee. Well, if the House Ethics Committee gets involved, then this is serious stuff, definitely. Anyway, Adam Schiff says that they've amassed evidence of criminality. I think it makes an important statement, not a political one, but a statement about the evidence of an attack on the institutions of our democracy and the peaceful transfer of power, that Congress examining an attack on itself is willing to report criminality. But to my earlier point, just because they do the criminal referral, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Again, bearing in mind that I'm not a lawyer or whatever, a criminal referral, according to David Skolansky, a Stanford law professor and former federal prosecutor, would not be a formal legal step. So it's not regulated by any legal rules or set procedures. For the committee to make a recommendation that particular individuals be considered for criminal prosecution would be just like you or me making that recommendation to the DOJ, except that the DOJ and the country as a whole are likely to pay more attention to what the committee says than to what you or I would say. But it is legally the same thing as me saying, Merrick Garland, get off your ass. It is like technically the same thing.
Hopefully they would pay more attention to just some, you know, than some random schmo. And that's good information, John. That's new to me. So, you know, then it is likely that there could be criminal referrals made, indictments, prosecutions. I don't know. I think Giuliani might be on that list.
Yeah, you know? Giuliani's definitely a possibility. And so look, you could have the criminal referrals and then have the DOJ still do nothing. That's certainly possible. And even sort of based on what Merrick Garland has been saying over the last 6 months or so, we know that they're doing their own investigation. It's now been handed off to, you know, the special counsel who's looking into this. So would they be likely to take the advice of the House when they're doing their own independent investigation? And he has made very clear that he considers it to be independent. I don't know how much extra pressure they would feel. It's possible that the fact that this committee is technically bipartisan, that they would consider that to be a little bit of cover if they were to actually do some sort of charges. I don't know if that's how that would work out in practice. And we know how scared of their own shadow Merrick Garland and the rest of the DOJ are. But anyway, supposedly there will be some recommendations on Monday. And so I am thinking, trying to manage my pessimism, I'm thinking criminal referral for Trump. But Merrick Garland either doesn't act or waits at least 9 months to do anything about it. What do you think? Final thought.
I think you might have something there, but I still think there probably won't even be that, sadly.
Yeah. Not Trump, just other henchmen and goons and stuff. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that might be what we're cruising towards. But we're going to be obviously maybe doing some live response on Monday. We'll definitely be talking about it on Tuesday. It's also possible that TYT might set up some actual live coverage for that when it happens. So everyone stay tuned for that. This is obviously
going really fast.
Yeah, hopefully. With that said, we do have to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, survivors of the Club Q shooting testified before Congress. We're going to be watching and responding to some of that video. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Anyway, we need to go get serious for a little bit. Testimony happened recently. People involved and survivors of the Club Q shooting. Want to give you a little bit of what that was like. It's obviously very serious, very emotional stuff. So bear that in mind as we launch into this.
To the politicians and activists who accuse LGBTQ people of grooming children and being abusers, shame on you. As leaders of our country, it is your obligation to represent all of us, not just the ones you happen to agree with. Hate speech turns into hate action, and actions based on hate almost took my life from me at 25 years old. I beg you all to consider your words before you speak them, for someone may use those words to justify action, action that may take someone's life. To my fellow LGBTQ community, events like this are designed to discourage us from speaking and living our truth, They are designed to scare us from living openly, courageously, and proudly. We must not succumb to fear. We must live prouder and louder than ever before.
It's a great statement there by Michael. Regrettably, not a single one of the Republican members of Congress or pundits or regular right-wingers out there are going to change their behavior literally at all, because they're getting something out of this rampant homophobia, transphobia, all of it, the groomer stuff. It's all transparent. They're building their audience, they're building their brand, and if occasionally a bar needs to get shot up, they have already made that decision. This isn't a thing they need to think about. The thought is in the past, they're fine with it. The bomb threats to children's hospitals, they're fine with it. The harassment campaigns against regular individuals, state legislators, they're fine with it. They're very clear about that. Still, it is great to have people, you know, putting a face, putting words to this desire to return to some sense of normality, of sense at all, of an acceptance of other people. I mean, he is a survivor of a literal terror attack. As he laid out, it's both terror and obvious this is a genocidal urge on the right. They don't just want to kill some gay people in Club Q. They want to wipe every LGBTQ plus person off the face of the earth. And yes, they are trying to influence their behavior by doing attacks like this. It is a perfect example of how domestic terrorism works. And again, recall, in the wake of it, we barely even got the normal thoughts and prayers. They mostly ignored it. They moved on instantaneously. They tried to pretend that it was a member of the community themselves who have committed it, as if that would absolve them from pushing this violent, hateful homophobia. Anyway, we've got more video that we're to go to, but Viviana, what do you think about what you saw?
I think Michael is incredibly courageous. I appreciate what he said. What actually I feel is the most important is to be mindful of the words you say, because that is what these kind of mentally unstable, AR-15 wielding psychopaths, hate-filled, are getting their supply from. And that is, like you said, they've already made up their mind. They're fine with it. They're not going to switch anything. And it's very sad. We're all living in this like war zone PTSD where these things happen and we just go, well, I guess I have to go to work today, even though this horrific thing happened. And it's just a normal Tuesday for Americans. And yeah. I don't know when it's going to change, John, or what needs to happen, because we've already had countless horrific attacks. But it is the rhetoric. It's feeding this cancer. And it is not going to stop until we change laws that prevent weaponry like this getting into the hands of people who are, well, I mean, there's no purpose for an AR-15 anyway, so let's just get that off the shelves, number one. But we really need to be able to be mindful not only of the words that these hate rhetoric is coming out of some of these politicians, but be mindful of who's getting weapons. You know, it's just dangerous. And why do you need this sort of a weapon to own, you know, the amount of damage it does. I mean, this young man, homophobia is rampant. It really is. We see a lot of phobias rampant right now. You know, we have anti-Semitic stuff going on. We've got racism. We've got homophobia. The young kids are seeing it on different channels. I'm not for censorship and talking about TikTok and whatnot, but it's being fed to everybody. And I think the most important thing he said to me is be mindful of our words.
Yeah. Regrettably, I think they are being mindful of their words. They're crafting the message that they think will accomplish their goals for them. There's a lot more of that hate speech that we've been talking about in this next video. You're gonna see that.
We need safe places like Club Q more than ever, and we need you, our leaders, to support and protect us. We have received hundreds of hate comments. I cannot read them all, but I'm going to read you a few examples. I woke up to the wonderful news that 5 mentally unstable f**ks and lesbians and 18 injured. The only thing I'm mad about is that the f**ks had courage to subdue the wonderful killer. I hope more shootings happen. Have a blessed day. The shooter was doing God's work. 5 less f**ks, not enough. Those that stopped him are the devil. All gays should die. This is hate. It is not just us that is experiencing this. Our hero, Army veteran Rich Fierro, and his wife Jessica, told me that they and their daughter have also been receiving similar hate messages.
Yeah. Look, we are a country where you have some of the most popular, wealthy, powerful people pandering to an audience that is large enough that some percentage of it, some predictable, measurable percentage of it, will wish for more wonderful killers, that'll wish that the death count was higher. And they're going to be out there echoing the things they hear from people like Matt Walsh and Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson and all of them. And now actually they're having an easier job of it. There's an interesting analysis from Media Matters of right-wing figures, anti-LGBTQ tweets and accounts getting retweets and mentions both before and after Elon Musk acquired Twitter. And look at how it has absolutely blown up. People like Tim Pool, who calls himself a liberal or something, I don't even understand that. And these other people too, these other groups. But again, hate speech much rarer on Twitter than it used to be. I hear from the guy who owns it. No. They are getting massive algorithmic amplification of their hate speech. And by the way, Elon Musk bought Twitter, like formally got in control of it, what, like 2 months ago? Okay, it's not like there wasn't a long period of the groomer talk and the hatred and all that beforehand. It's not like it is just amped up. They're obviously having an active boost to what they're doing. And you can see like Tim Pool trying to respond, implying that Media Matters is being homophobic by pointing out all of these tweets. Tim Pool, by the way, I will remind you, had a tweet storm after the shooting, effectively saying, "What do you expect? They're groomers. People will kill groomers. As long as you keep grooming, you're going to be killed. What do you expect?" He's still on the account. In fact, has a bigger following than ever, when he is clearly calling for more attacks like this, at least doing PR for the wonderful killers. And you have others, politicians, Lauren Boebert tweeting about how the far left seriously needs to cut this grooming bull crap out because us parents have seriously had enough. She doesn't want to have to think about this. She wants to spend all of her time giving assault rifles to her kids to pose in family photos. No grooming though, no propagandizing or anything. And I don't want to go through all the other examples. There's tons of them, and you said, I believe that was the owner of Club Q, Matthew Haynes, in that last video. They're everywhere. You don't have to look far to find them, and they're now receiving a big assist from Elon Musk.
Yeah, for $8 a month, you can say whatever hateful thing you want to say, and you can encourage people to go out and kill whatever group you don't like. And then at the end of it, you can say, "Have a blessed day." And that just absolves you of any sins because you're a follower of Jesus and you're bathed in his blood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to say, John. We have made incredible strides over the last several decades in regards to gay rights, LGBTQ rights. I mean, it started as gay rights, and now we're actually getting these extreme conservative politicians using phrases like LGBTQ, which is, hey, that's a little bit of progress, right? We have worked so hard to get away from the rhetoric about LGBTQ people sort of perverting the youth. It's gotta stop. It's gotta stop. It's ridiculous. It's hurting our kids. Because we have to understand that a lot of LGBTQ people, let's include I as well, have children, have families, and these children are hearing this. And what would Jesus do? Jesus might have been LGBTQI. I don't know. That's not in the Bible. But he wasn't a swinging, you know, single dude. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to get any hate
mail. Gaps in his life, I guess. Anyway, we can do fan fiction whenever we want. But yeah, the final point that I want to make about this is we have been talking about the obvious goal of dehumanization for a long time. QAnon didn't just organically develop for no reason, and the grooming stuff is intentional. The point is, it is one thing if you get a portion of the country to think, "I don't like seeing PDA between gay people. Ew, I don't like it, or I don't want it." That's one thing, okay? But how do you get people to respond to a mass shooting by saying, "If you try to stop the shooter from killing you, you're the devil"? How do you get that? Well, you convince people that all of these people are trying to have sex with their kids and kill their kids and maybe eat their kids or drink the hormones from their brain. If you can do that, and that's what they've been doing, then you can get people to say, the victims of a mass shooting are the devil. This is just genocidal stuff. This is the cockroaches. That's what this is. They've used slightly different terminology and they've made it go viral on the internet. But the goal is for you to have no feeling whatsoever, except maybe elation when you hear that these people have been brutally murdered. And you can see the evidence of it in those videos.
That is well said, John. That's absolutely the
thank you.
Right on point.
Well, we need to move to more violence. I swear the show will eventually get a little bit lighter in the aftermath. It's gonna be a little bit rough until then, but we do have a little bit more lighter news. We will laugh again, do not worry. But first, let's give you an update on this. Judges announced that the trial of David DePape will move forward. There had obviously been charges since he brutally attacked the husband of Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi. It's now moving forward to trial, indicating that the judge believes there is pretty good evidence. That seems self-evident, but I guess this is the process you have to go through. This is Superior Court Judge Stephen Murphy just ruled that the San Francisco District Attorney's Office has enough evidence against David DePape to move the case forward to trial on all of the charges, by the way. The defense, by the way, pointed to DePape's statements to Mr. Pelosi and the police, in which he said he was targeting Nancy Pelosi, not Paul Pelosi, and intended to break Nancy's kneecaps, not kill her. That was their defense. The judge found it unconvincing, as I am sure most people probably will. By the way, if you have not been following this, that's weird, but I will catch you up. The man accused of attacking the husband of US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said there was evil in Washington and he was looking to harm Pelosi because she's second in line to the presidency. Says there's evil. What they did went so far beyond the campaign. So again, this is explicitly political. And wait until you hear about the other people that he wanted to target. It just fits into all of the right wing conspiracy theories. But anyway, before we get to that, Viviana, what do you think about this trial?
You know, that Tanya Harding defense, I just wanted to bust her kneecaps. It's the guy admitted to it. I mean, he was literally caught red-handed. Maybe you didn't want to kill Nancy, but you hammered somebody's skull in. So that seems to me like you wanted to kill them, right? That's I don't want that to happen to me. You know, it goes right what you were just saying, John, about the rhetoric being fed to these people constantly. He really truly believes that there is evil that he has to stop. And that is not just his own sickness in his mind, it's been fed. It's been fed, spoon-fed to him, in fact. And that is the danger. We are seeing the aftermath of now several years of this sort of barrage of misinformation and lies being told to people. And who doesn't want to protect children, John? We all do. Yeah. What about the children? It really motivates people. It lights a fire under them, you know, and all the other things. He's not specific about the evil, so it's very general. And you know, John, and I'm not a big Nancy Pelosi fan, but I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody. You know what I mean? I don't think Nancy's done the best she could for this country. Is she corrupt? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Does she deserve her kneecaps smashed in? Absolutely not. Don't bust into people's houses. And then her poor husband, the guy was just sleeping. I mean, I think he did pretty good. I mean, that 911 call was like, this guy's really keeping it together. I was impressed with him.
He did a good job.
But DePape guy is so insane and so like on board with this agenda that he's not even denying it. He's out there like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. Well, he is saying that he doesn't deserve the charges, to be clear, but he was very clear about what he was doing the night of. And we're actually gonna get into a little bit of what he told the authorities that night. But again, just to provide a little bit more information, he had broken into the house. This is back on October 28th, and time flies. And instead ended up beating her husband with a hammer. By the way, the Associated Press ends their little catch up saying the violence sent shockwaves through the political world. And they did, but not necessarily in the way that you might expect. Obviously, reasonable people were horrified by this, but recall for the people on the right, this was the funniest thing they had heard all year. And they could not wait to mock how Paul Pelosi's skull was bashed in by right wing conspiracy theorists. Never forget that. Anyway, he pleaded not guilty.
I was saying that's not evil at all, right?
He was stopping evil. He pleaded not guilty to federal and state charges, including attempted murder, burglary, and elder abuse, but is right now being held without bail, which is certainly good. Okay, so What else do we know about this guy? Well, we knew that he had other people on a list. That's been clear for some time. Lieutenant Carla Hurley said that the defendant told her of other people he wanted to target, including Gavin Newsom, governor of California, actor Tom Hanks, and Hunter Biden, one of Joe Biden's sons. So again, remember, you were told, well, it's like, do we really know the political motive? I mean, lefties hate Nancy Pelosi too, so who knows? Well, I don't know. The fact that they're going after Gavin Newsom, who the right hates because he keeps starting fights with Ron DeSantis, Tom Hanks, that might seem random to you. If you're a sane person who hasn't been on the internet a ton the last couple of years, that's a QAnon thing, to be clear. They believe that Tom Hanks is eating babies or something. And Hunter Biden, because of course, this guy. Look, we live in a country with a lot of mental illness for a couple different reasons. One, we're humans, there's always gonna be some. Two, it's stigmatized and there aren't the resources necessarily to fix it for people who suffer from it. That is always going to be the case. The question is, what do you yell at those people? What do some of the most influential people with the biggest audiences scream at them night after night? And if what you're screaming is that the babies are being eaten and that Hunter Biden's getting away with murder and something needs to be done, always something needs to be done, then those people are eventually going to take that seriously. There's a lot of effort put into trying to get them to take it seriously. And whatever else you might say about David DePape, he took those claims seriously and he acted out based on it. And thankfully, Paul Pelosi wasn't murdered. Thankfully, Nancy Pelosi's knees weren't busted apart, but that is what he wanted. That is what he wanted. And unfortunately, the rhetoric since then, have you noticed it being more moderate following the Club Q shooting or following the Pelosi attack? Have you noticed the right dialing back the intensity of the rhetoric? No, they're calling for total war at their meetings. It's just as bad as it ever was. Any other thoughts, Viviana, before we move on?
I mean, it's worse, John. It's worse. It's gotten worse. It's sick and dangerous. We don't know what's going to happen around the corner because this rhetoric has not stopped. These stories are still out there. I mean, Tom Hanks, for God's sakes, there's a baby in my boot. Yum. I mean, what is he saying? What do you think he's doing?
Was that a modification of the Toy Story line?
A little bit.
I think that's what it was. Nice work. A little bit of improv for Viviana there. Anyway, look, it is super serious. And thankfully, they caught this guy. But God knows how many other people there are just in San Francisco, let alone across America, who would love to engage in something like this.
They're just looking anyway. For a mission. They're looking for a mission. They're soldiers. They're God's soldiers carrying evil on the, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to a sane person. But like you said, there's a lot of mental health out there, issues out there that aren't being dealt with properly. Yeah. This is just fuel to the fire.
We on the pre-port this morning, so California is doing this commission looking at the possibility of reparations. And Tucker Carlson told the audience that the Democrats are using Nazi race science to determine who gets money and who doesn't. So again, like if you're a deranged conservative, the other side is Nazis. They're using race science. And even though they're not, none of this is true. But that's, they are gonna trust Tucker Carlson 1,000 times more than everybody else in media combined. And that's what he's telling them on a daily basis.
And
they're
Tucker
being wiped
Carlson
out, they're being replaced, their sperm is being destroyed. It's scary stuff, people.
And Tucker Carlson has never quoted Blood Quantum to talk about indigenous, you know, tribal membership and whether or not they don't, you know, what didn't Trump say? They don't look like Indians to me. So in Spanish, we say cuando conviene, when it's convenient. Oh, you want to use race science. You want to talk about blood purity. You want to talk about it. But then when it's being used like something you don't like, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow, Tucker.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, some next steps of anti-abortion forces trying to dial back your access to reproductive care. We'll have that for you and a lot more. So don't go anywhere. Okay, everybody, a little bit more serious news. You gotta understand what's going on in states around the country, and then we'll have some fun, don't worry. But first, let's jump into this. In the aftermath of the destruction of Roe v. Wade, tons of Republicans, both elected officials, especially national ones, as well as right-wing pundits were like, hey, don't freak out. Sure, Roe v. Wade is gone, but that's it. We're satisfied now, we're not going to do anything crazy, certainly, so don't vote against us. Well, we told you that there was no way in hell you could trust that, and it has been proven many times over. Here's a new way that they are going far beyond just the destruction of Roe v. Wade. So bear in mind, anti-abortion activists have already filed lawsuits that could ban blue state medical providers from prescribing medication abortions, and lawmakers plan to target abortion pills even harder in 2023. So this is one area where people feel like, okay, they've really cracked down on some of the traditional ways to access abortions, but maybe with the pills we can fill a little bit of the cracks. Well, they are definitely going to try to stop anybody from doing that, and not just in banning the pills. They're going to go further than that. So one plan involves Texas lawmakers drafting legislation to censor abortion pill websites, including Aid Access, a service run by a Dutch doctor. The European-based site launched in 2018 due to dwindling access in the US, and about a year ago, it started to offer advanced provision of abortion pills to people in all 50 states before they're pregnant. Texas Republicans are preparing to introduce a bill for the January 2023 session that would require internet providers to block abortion pill websites in the same way they can censor child sexual abuse material. And as I pointed out in our production meeting, yeah, technically it'd be like that in that you'd be censoring it, but there's a reason we ban the child sex abuse imagery, and it's kind of different than the argument you're making here. You just don't want people to have access to what should be their constitutional rights. Let's be clear about that. And by the way, let's also be clear about the Free Speech Party, once again showing how deep of a commitment they have to free speech. And oh yes, I do actually mean violations of free speech in this case, because bear in mind, this is not a private company banning access to it. This is the government requiring a private company to ban access to that. This actually does bear on the First Amendment. Viviana, what do you think?
This is a crash and burn kind of situation for this country, for not just women in this country, anybody who can get pregnant, anybody who's affected by people who could get pregnant, children, grandparents. I mean, this is just a catastrophe, and it is going to affect women who, or people who can get pregnant who may want to access abortion or not. I mean, I remember after the Affordable Care Act passed, how elated I felt that birth control pills were going to be covered. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that's going to start trickling down. Then reproductive access, all, you know, birth control access, all, it's all happening already in real time, and it is just a crash and burn situation. It's got to change, John. It's got to change. We need federal leadership to step in and say, no, this isn't going to happen. And it's not happening fast enough. It's like this kind of race to erase rights of, you know, fertile people.
Yeah.
It's a terrible situation.
We know that people don't support this. We know that. That's why when they put it on the ballot, it loses time and time again in blue states and red states all over the place. But that's not going to stop them. They want it. Some of them are true zealots, and they just genuinely don't. They genuinely hate these rights. And others think that, sure, it might not win on the ballot. It might not win for a presidential candidate, but maybe for me in Congress or in the state legislature, I can get enough crazies to win a primary. And they might be right.
That's
by the way, a little bit more on this.
That's what does happen, and that is scary. They use it as a potential to win races and to make them seem like they're these, you know, holier than thou type people. Like, I just want to save kids. Really? Because you're actually killing kids like this. It's funny because there's a lot of kids that are living and breathing air actually already that this affects very negatively in their real life experience.
Yeah. Also, Students for Life, they plan to focus on weaponizing environmental regulations. They want to create a team of student investigators to test wastewater in hopes of finding contamination from abortion pills, and then use that to get states' attorney generals to issue statewide injunctions on abortion pills. Oh, they care about science all of a sudden. They care about one contaminant in the water. Okay, it's gonna blow their mind. Did you know that there are others?
Yeah.
That might be doing more damage, actually. No, they're not.
Good luck filtering out that one, you know, needle in a haystack.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of the commitment to life, new report finds states with more abortion restrictions have higher maternal and infant mortality. Again, it is not about protecting life. It's about forcing birth. That's what it's about.
And then once you're born, they don't care. Oh, you need something? Oh, you're a dredge in society. It's like, but I wasn't a dredge 2 minutes ago. No, now you're born and breathing.
Yeah, now suddenly we don't care. So I want to give you just a little bit more information about that report. It found that strict restrictions on abortions are associated with poorer access to healthcare for pregnant people and infants, which in turn raises the risk of negative outcomes such as mental health challenges and death. According to the report, states that heavily restricted abortion access in 2020 had maternal death rates that were 62% higher than they were in states where abortion was more easily accessible. So don't tell me it's not possible for these states to do better. You just have to look across the border. You have to change your policy, change the culture. You could do that. That's actually something that could happen. And of course, people of color, those who are uninsured and those who live on low incomes or in underserved areas already face additional risks that threaten their lives during pregnancy, such as difficulty accessing consistent pre and postnatal care. And those issues are being exacerbated in the current climate.
It increases poverty, it increases hunger, it increases abuse of children. It's all synergistic variables. You cannot isolate these. This doesn't live in a vacuum. You cannot restrict reproductive care, either pre or, you know, it's just, you can't do it. It's just a domino effect.
Well, as bad as that is, we have more news coming out of Texas. So we're gonna move on to our last topic. And this is definitely a weird one. A viewer had put this on our radar yesterday on the show. So thank you as always to viewers who let us know about things that are going on. I actually have a brief thing we're gonna talk about on the other side of our next break that I saw being talked about in the chat. So thank you as always for making sure that we know what's going on. Let's start with this though. Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, wants information about how many trans people there are in Texas. Why? I don't know. He's not saying. Doesn't seem like anything good. Don't trust him to use that information for anything that's going to help people in the community. But I do want to let you know about what we know so far. So the office sought a list of individuals who changed their gender on their state driver's license and other records over a 2-year span. So they'd requested this from the state's Department of Public Safety, initially asking for a total number of changes from male to female and female to male broken down by month, and later asked for the numbers and a list of names. So at first it was just numbers, then it was, I want specific information about these people. I want you to print me out a list of thousands and thousands of names, and then I probably won't do anything terrible with it, I guess. Bearing in mind, this guy in February ordered state agencies to investigate parents seeking gender affirming care for their children. So has already shown a willingness to go way beyond the position or the law or the Constitution in legally persecuting people who pursue this care. When asked who in the AG's office specifically requested the data, a DPS spokesperson told the Post, I cannot say. And so look, usually at this point, I would love to give you more specific information about what they plan to do with this. At this point though, we kind of just sort of have to use our imagination. And we can provide a little bit of information for that though, based on what we know they've been doing in Texas. When you think about the Texas state government and trans people, what comes to mind? Maybe it's those investigations we talked about. Maybe it's the endless campaigns against individual trans high school athletes. Have you seen anything out of that state government that implies that this information will be used to help people, to improve the quality of their life, their access to care, their sense of acceptance socially? Anything positive coming out of Texas in the past few years? Because I haven't seen anything. Now, maybe there is an explanation that's innocent. I consider myself a creative person. I do, after all, write fantasy novels about animals, but I am drawing a blank on what an innocent explanation for this is, coming from the office of a person like Ken Paxton. Anyway, if there are updates, if we find out something in the future, I will let you know. I am hoping that someone will leak something about the plan from inside the office. Feel free to reach out to Ken Klippenstein. But as of right now, I have no idea what possible positive reason they have for doing this. Bearing in mind, we only have a little bit of time, but Viviana, what do you think about this?
I thought they were against Nazi methods. I mean, I guess this
we're
is kind of
briefly was.
This is kind of Russian methods too, of keeping track of who's who and what. We know, John. You don't have to ask the rhetorical question. We know they're going to target them. They're going to lynch them. They're going to publicly ostracize them. They're going to dead name them. They're going to do all kinds of things that are going to try to humiliate and push them underground, or get them to kill themselves, or just, it's horrific stuff that they're trying to do. And that stuff should be covered under HIPAA. It should be private. It should be not information shared. They don't need their names. They don't need the numbers. It doesn't matter When are we going to get it through people's heads that gender is a construct and it doesn't matter? Let people be whatever they want. Let them wear a bra, not wear a bra, high heels. Does it matter really at the end of the day? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll see. We're going to be keeping an eye on this. Again, thank you to the audience for pointing this story out for us. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have in the first hour of our show, but we do have some funner, lighter topics coming up in the aftermath. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.